is Martin Zender, and I'm in Canton, Ohio. And I wanted to do something. I wanted to do something really different with the lighting here. My sister told me on the phone. That's right. I'm at my sister Kelly's house, visiting here for a week to see my son graduate from college. My youngest son, Paul. She said, "You got one of your microphones here, Martin. This is the microphone I use. It's called the Blue Yeti." Well, unfortunately, the thing doesn't work. So I thought I wouldn't have to bring my regular microphone. I couldn't anyway because I flew Spirit Airlines, which is the cheapest airlines on the planet. Round trip from Fort Lauderdale to Cleveland, Ohio for $70, although I paid $99 because I needed to pick my seat. You're not going to push me against the window, I'll tell you that much. So this was the size bag that I had to have. Very small. I don't know if you can see that. On the Canton cam, no, you can't. It's a really small bag. I couldn't bring my suitcase. So we're making do here. I thought as long as I'm making do and as long as I'm going to be dissatisfied with the sound again, I might as well get some funky lighting in here. A couple days ago, I dished you a show called Introduction to Armageddon. We talked about the Valley of Jehoshaphat. Well, that doesn't sound like Armageddon, but it is. It's the same place. Armageddon. It's a valley in the Holy Land. Yeah, GPS it. You'll find it. I guarantee you. It's there. This is also the Valley of Decision, where Jesus Christ will return to earth and judge the nations. We'll talk about that sometime when we get there. People misconstrue the language there, and they think God's teaching eternal torment. No, he's not. Now, I mentioned to you a few days ago that there was the prophet Joel had much to say about this topic of this battle. Everybody hears about the Battle of Armageddon. But guess what? There will not be a Battle of Armageddon. The war is never fought. At that extremity of this eon, the nations will surround Israel. They will surround Jerusalem to make war with them. Because Israel's going to be so wealthy, they are going to own everything. And so the only way that the earth can repay Israel, they can't. So they're going to get rid of her. They're going to kill her. It's like owing somebody something and you say, well, I can't pay that person, so I'm going to kill them. Then I won't owe them anymore. Brilliant. Not really. Don't do it. I don't recommend it. So this is the last great battle until at the end of the millennium, 1,000 years later, the nations try to rebel again. And it's crushed as instantly as this. So let's go to the prophet Joel right now. Who doesn't like the prophet Joel? He has a most graphic account of this epic in Israel's history that's upcoming. And he uses figures of speech. And the same figure of speech of the wine press. Remember, the stomping of the grapes, making it into a mash. In most cases in Scripture, as I said to you before, wine is the thing that makes the heart of man and woman glad. But here, it's akin to death and to blood. I guess the redness of the seepage from the grapes is being compared to, metaphorically, blood. So here's Joel in chapter 3, verses 1 and 2. "For lo, in those days and in that era, in which I turn back the captivity of Judah and Jerusalem." Some people say this has been done already. God has not turned back yet the captivity of Judah and Jerusalem because they are still subject to the nations. Are they the head and not the tail? No, they're still the tail. Are they running the earth from their headquarters of Jerusalem? No. "I gather together all the nations also." This is interesting because he's going to gather them together to fight Israel. And, of course, they're going to be smitten or smote. And then he's going to gather them, the remnant, whatever's left, and when he comes and returns in glory, and he's going to redistribute the populations of the earth to their apportioned places. "I gather together all the nations also, cause them to descend into the vale of Jehoshaphat." Now, they're coming to do war with Israel. And yet here it is plainly said in the Concordant Version, "I cause them to descend into the vale of Jehoshaphat." You know that I hate this wimpy language that says, God allowed this. God allowed it. He allowed it. No, he doesn't allow anything. He causes all things. Only in a relative sense can you say God allows anything. So there's another verse in the Psalms. I think it's 104 something, 105. I don't know. God caused their heart to hate his people. Speaking of the Egyptians, he caused their heart to hate his people. And if you've been following along in the Romans series on my ZWTF, you know that God actively hardened Pharaoh's heart. He didn't harden an already hardened heart. So now, later in Revelation, when we get to chapter 17, verse 17, we will find that God will cause 10 kings to form his opinion. Love that verse. I always love it when I see the word cause, as in God causing things to happen. Love this truth. I caused them to descend into the vale of Jehoshaphat, which means Jehovah Judge. That's what the name Jehoshaphat means, Jehovah Judge. And I am judged with them there. Strange wording there. That's the Concordant version. I am judged with them there. As to, I'm not even going to come explain it because I don't even understand that verse. It's the only verse in Joel I don't understand. And as to my people and my allotment, Israel, whom they disperse among the nations, and they apportion my land. They dispersed. The nations dispersed. Call this among, now we're in Joel 3, 9, 17. Call this among the nations, hollow a war. Or, this is another alternate translation, proclaim a holy war. Okay, we have a holy war going on now between Islam and Christianity, the East and the West. Well, this is going to be a holy war that God is going to inaugurate and win. Because, why is it holy? Well, it's a separated war. Holy just means separated unto God. It's a war that is going to establish the true worship of Jehovah on the earth. Rouse the mighty. They are coming close. Rouse the mighty. You know, the mighty need roused. In World War II, the United States had to be roused from its stupor. And Pearl Harbor was the catalyst that got us into the war. You know, that old thing, we have awoken a sleeping giant, that type of a thing. And so the nations will be roused. Pharaoh was roused because, left to their own devices, people will just kind of be victims of inertia. They will remain inactive unless operated upon by an outside force. And so the outside force is the coercion of God. And he has no problem saying it boldly because nobody's going to believe it except us stupid people. I caused them to descend into the vale of Jehoshaphat. They're not descending to have a picnic. They're not descending to worship God. They're descending to kill God's people, to wipe out Israel. And actually, Islam has stated this as its political goal, to wipe Israel off the face of the earth. And they're going to be joined at the end of this epic, at the end of this era, by the rest of the nations. Call a war, howl a war, proclaim a holy war, rouse the mighty, they are coming close, all the mortal warriors are ascending. Pound your coulters. What is a coulter? Coulter, into swords, and your pruning hooks into lances. This is the opposite of what he's going to do when he comes. He's going to turn their pruning, he's going to make their swords into pruning hooks. But now he's turning their pruning hooks into swords. So that's interesting. I don't know what a coulter is, but it's going to be pounded into a sword. So I think a coulter is something lovely. I notice you have a very lovely coulter today. Well, I want you to pound it into a sword immediately because we are going to war against Israel. And your pruning hooks into lances. That's so funny. Sorry, I find humor in bloodshed. Not really. But this is the war that God's going to stop before it even starts. It's not going to be a skirmish between the nations and Israel. It's going to be a bloodbath between God and the nations. Quote me on that. Mobilize and come, all nations from around. Mobilize and come. God's giving the order. And as I told you earlier, God is the placer. So he's placing every one of these combatants in the field of battle. And cause thy mighty ones to settle, Jehovah. The nations are rousing and ascending to the vale of Jehoshaphat, for there I am sitting to judge all the nations from around. Romans 9. Why is he still blaming? If God causes hardened hearts, why is he still blaming? For who can resist his intention, right? These nations cannot resist God's intention. He actually wakes them up from their stupor. They're sitting there pruning things, and he says, "No, I don't want you to prune. I want you to thrust the sword. Put down those coulters, will you?" Coulters. Somebody help me here. I did not look this up. Coulter and swords and your pruning hooks into lances. Mobilize and come. The nations are rousing and ascending to the vale. How do you ascend to a valley? I'm not sure. They're ascending to the valley of Jehoshaphat. Ascending. I wonder if this is figurative language here. No, literal if possible. You can ascend to a valley only if you're below sea level. Holy sea level, Batman! So they're coming from a lower place, and I happen to know that the Dead Sea is approximately 400 feet below sea level. So the Valley of Jehoshaphat maybe is, say, 200 feet above sea level. So you would have to ascend to get to the Valley of Jehoshaphat if you're starting from the Dead Sea. So it could be. My powers of deduction here are kicking in while the camera's running. It's great that the camera's catching this. That the armies are amassing. They're staging their combatants in the area of the Dead Sea. Wherever it is, it will be lower in elevation than the Valley of Jehoshaphat, because they will ascend to the Valley of Jehoshaphat. Wow. You don't let God be true, though every man a liar. I suppose people could look at this and say, this is foolishness, you know. I mean, you have to ascend to Death Valley from the Dead Sea. It's a long trip. Death Valley, California, Dead Sea. But nevertheless, it's an ascent, because Death Valley, as low as it is, Badwater, what is it, 180 something feet? Is it that much? Below sea level? Lowest spot in the Northern Hemisphere. Let's go on here because it's so enjoyable. The nations are rousing and ascending. What do you know? We know why they are now, because God is showing you and me behind the curtain. Send forth the sickle, for the harvest is ripe. Where have we heard that? Come descend, for the wine trough is full. Here we go with the sickle again and the wine trough. This is the same language in the unveiling chapter 14, which is why I'm reading this to you. Now you see there's a method to the Zender madness. For there I am sitting to judge all the nations. So he does judge people that he causes to withstand him. Send forth the sickle, come descend, for the wine trough is full. So who's descending? Probably the reapers, the messengers. The bats run over, for their evil is much. And remember, all the bloodshed of all generations is going to be visited upon those of the wild beasts. And no doubt there are lots and lots of members of the wild beast in this brigade. Throngs, throngs in the veil of decision. That's a famous verse. I've heard that before. Yeah. The sun, the moon are somber. The stars gather in their brightness. And Jehovah from Zion is roaring. And from Jerusalem he is giving forth his voice. And the heavens and the earth quake. And Jehovah is a refuge to his people. And a stronghold to the sons of Israel. And you shall know that I, Jehovah, am your God. They're going to know. Because there is no way they can survive this. This is it. This is the greatest impression. Now the sun's come out. God is going to make on Israel, because they know that they're done. Just this is a Red Sea times 1,000. The Red Sea, no way, we're dead. We got Egypt behind us, the Red Sea in front of us. God works a miracle, parts the Red Sea, they go through. This is going to be an equally impressive miracle. No, my friends, this miracle will exceed that of the Red Sea parting. And from Jerusalem he is giving forth his voice, and the heavens and the earth quake, and Jehovah is a refuge to his people, stronghold to the sons of Israel, and you shall know, finally, that I, Jehovah, am your God. Tabernacling in Zion, my holy mountain, and Jerusalem becomes holy. Remember that verse Jesus said, you shall be holy, you shall become holy. The common translation says, become ye holy, as if, like the King James. And I've had this thrown at me. Become ye holy as I am holy. Yeah, sure. Should I start now or after dinner? Maybe after the weekend so I can have a little fun before I become holy? No, Jesus said, you shall become holy. It wasn't a challenge to Israel, to his disciples. It was a promise. You shall be holy as I am holy. Same thing happening here. Jerusalem becomes holy. Doesn't make itself holy. And aliens shall not be passing in her furthermore. All right, that's enough of the good times and the great oldies there. Great passage from one of my favorite prophets, Joel. Joel gets to tell us about these things. Oh, you remember I mentioned that if you, I mentioned that I had Sheryl Crow, her picture, the famous Sheryl Crow in the Body of Christ, not the singer, the famous one. And I said, if you send me a picture of yourself, I will put it as a bookmark in my Bible because I'm using Sheryl Crow as a bookmark in my Bible. And she says she's honored by that. And I said, send me your huddled masses yearning to breathe free. Send me your photographs. I'll put them in my Bible. Wonderful woman named Nancy Holland did just that. Look at this beautiful woman. She lives in Arkansas. Look at the Canton cam. She sent me this photo and said, I would be honored for you to use this in your Bible, Martin. And so there she is. There's Nancy and me, and she is now in my Bible. Well, not right now. I mean, I'm holding her picture, but very soon after I turn this broadcast off, she will be in my Bible. Send me your pictures, anyone, male or female, and I will use you. I will use you as a bookmark in my Bible.